This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
First game of the World Series. It's the Astros hosting the Braves in Game 1 at Minute Maid Park. It all starts at 8:09 on Fox. That's Game Time, brought to you by Telemordew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Telemordew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tele time. Please enjoy responsibly. To show you how locked in we are, we now go down to the field at Minute Maid Park in Houston, where Jeff Passan, reporting exclusively for 98.7, is right there. Jeff, how you doing?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Where on the field are you standing exactly? I want to picture it in my mind.
I am way, way, way up the right field line, right where the edge of the netting ends, pretty much. So I'm trying to be kind of off by myself here. And,
okay.
Try and keep it sort of quiet for you guys. You know, I'm trying to be respectful of the show, of audio consideration.
Wow, that
what
is great.
What a pro.
Well, you hear what he's doing there, right?
I know what he's doing.
He clearly heard the Steve Young interview yesterday.
That's unbelievable. That's
what I love about Jeff.
He does his homework. Now, Peter, obviously, before we get into nuts and bolts baseball, you say you wanted to talk to Jeff about something. So please, take over.
Are you sensing, is there any sort of feeling around this being the most Jewish World Series game in history?
Honestly, typically it's just like in the press box we can get a minion together. We might actually be able to get the players involved here too. I mean, it's not just like the Christmas and Easter Jews either. We got two bar mitzvahs in the house here.
Wow.
Like, this is like the real, I know, this is the real deal.
Speaking of which, on that subject, real quick, Jeff, if you were invited to the bar mitzvah of a colleague who you were friendly with, but you didn't really know the bar mitzvah boy very well, how much would you give for a gift?
It depends how much I like the colleague.
Okay. What if, like, they're okay?
If they're okay?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you don't know the kid at all?
You met the kid once in passing.
Met the kid once?
Yeah,
see, I feel like I have to be generous with gifts.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, that's the I don't know, 200?
Yeah, you're a good man. You're a good man, Jeff Passan.
Okay.
That's all right, fine. Let's go to baseball now, because you just shut down Peter, and I love you for it.
No, that's it. I wasn't far off from that. I was right there. It's in the neighborhood.
I mean, what's the right answer here?
Like, I think
what's neighborhood?
Just take the L.
I gave I think 180. I did the whole denominations of 18 thing.
No, the father said that's not true. He said it was closer to 100.
Well, I don't remember what the number. It was somewhere between 100 and 180, Jeff. And I'm being killed as if I'm an utter disgrace. And I said to Michael, it's hard for me because for my bar mitzvah, the amount of people who gave me over $150, it was like you could count it on one hand.
Yeah, but that's because you're old. There's inflation.
You know what? He might be number one again, Don.
He's very good.
He might be number one.
I'll tell you, this may be the best 3 minutes of radio we've ever done with Jeff.
So, Jeff, tell me the most intriguing part of this World Series for you. What's gotten your attention?
Aside from the threats being levied to me by Houston Astros fans. I don't know. I don't know if I'm number one on the list. I feel like John Boy's up there. You certainly have your place in their heart.
Oh, they hate me too.
But I mean, they're a fearsome bunch too. So I've been avoiding punches on the streets. I had a drink bought for me last night, was convinced that it was spiked, drank it anyway.
Good for you.
I live to tell about it. Live to tell about it. Isn't the Astros' place in history a really big part of this? And if they win a championship here, what does that do to contextualize 2017? I think already they've illustrated that what they did in 2017 wasn't an anomaly, guys. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't just them cheating, which they did and which benefited them. But at the same time, these are great baseball players that we're talking mm-hmm. about. Jose Altuve is a Hall of Famer. Carlos Correa is going to get $300 million this offseason. Yordan Alvarez is off to one of the best starts of a career for a slugger that I can remember. Kyle Tucker's fantastic. I mean, we can go on and on about the players on this team who are just really, really good. And I think if they win this year, it makes it almost even more difficult to suggest what the Houston Astros actually were.
Yeah.
Because up until this point, I think there's been this instinct, especially fans of the Yankees, especially fans of the Dodgers, especially people who look at what they did and refuse to acknowledge the possibility that it was done on talent alone. And those people, if they're being honest with themselves, they can sit here and say, yes, they cheated, but cheating and greatness are not necessarily mutually exclusive. And we know that already because of Alex Rodriguez, because of Barry Bonds, because mm-hmm. of the litany of people in sports who have both cheated and been great at the same time.
See, that's what I wanted to ask you. Can a championship change it all? Because I compare them to the Patriots. But here's the difference with the Patriots. The Patriots have Tom Brady. The Patriots have fans like, you know, Mark Wahlberg and Bill Burr, like, to defend them everywhere. The Astros don't have that. So I just wonder if this championship really will change any hearts and minds.
I mean, no, probably not. And it's the same reason that Astros fans can't look at, the sort of work that I've done, for example. I'm not tooting my horn at all. I'm saying what I've done, what I've written, what I've said is fair. It's fair because it's accurate. It's fair because there's no slant in it. It's fair for a number of reasons, but they refuse to acknowledge the possibility that somebody who they branded an enemy of the state, essentially, could possibly do something well. Just the same way that I think fans are going to look at the Astros and say, once a cheater, always a cheater, even though the only players left from that 2017 team are their four infielders, and now Marwin Gonzalez got added to the roster. But, you know, it's 20% of the team, guys. Like, this is a completely different team right now. But I think in fans' minds, the Astros are the Astros, always will be the Astros. It's an unforgivable sin, and no matter what they do afterward, their name is mud.
You know what gets me, Jeff? You know, you talk about the fans, and they get really, really angry. I mean, really nasty. And, you know, when I used to answer back on Twitter, I'd go, but your guys admitted it. So it's not like we're making it up. You admitted it. So what are they mad at, that the guys admitted it and we reported it? What exactly gets their ire?
Listen. I've gone into this because I was going back and forth in a direct message with an Astros fan yesterday, and mm-hmm. He asked me today, why do you do that? And I said, because if I just talk to people inside of baseball and the media, that's me reinforcing the echo chamber that I'm creating around myself. I need to hear dissenting opinions. I need to understand why. I don't want to get yelled at. I don't want to get told I look like an elf. I don't want to see, you know, someone posting a video of me standing on the field. This actually happened. Standing on the field in the post game after the ALCS, after they clinched the pennant, and Jose Altuve is walking by, and I just have this big, dumb grin on my face because I knew Altuve was about to walk over to his family, and I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm going to get to see my kids tomorrow. It's been a long time. This is awesome. In hindsight, I look like an idiot. And Altuve walks by, and Astros fans see this video, and they're like, oh, my God, Altuve blew off that loser passing. And, you know, it turns into something that it's not. So to rescue people from these that they're in right now, Michael, it just doesn't happen. And the tribe of the Astros side right now doesn't discount the fact that their team cheated. The argument that they make is that the Astros have been unfairly maligned because other teams were cheating as well. To me, it's such a garbage argument. Like, if you didn't want to be maligned, maybe you shouldn't have cheated in the first place.
I mean, that's almost like, you know, I got pulled over for
got caught.
I got pulled over for speeding. It's not fair that I got pulled over because thousands of people sped, but they didn't get caught.
Yeah, yep, that's right. And I think further, just to like elucidate this argument a little bit that they make. I think what the belief there is that all Major League Baseball wanted was one team, and once they found that one team that they could make an example of, even though others were doing stuff, they didn't necessarily have to go after them and investigate them for the things that they were doing. And my counter to that is, while I firmly believe and know to be the case that other teams were, and we know this because the Yankees have been disciplined for the Apple Watch, because the Red Sox have been disciplined for nefariousness in their video room, while those things are ineffably true, what is also ineffably true is that what the Astros did was much, much worse. And if you want to try and make an equivalence between what the Yankees and Red Sox did and what the Astros did, that's like trying to say a felony and a misdemeanor are the same thing.
Right.
They're all crimes, but the notion that there can't be different levels and that those different levels don't matter, it's willful ignorance.
Jeff, did you said kind of in passing earlier, passing if you will, avoiding punches on the street. Was that based on actual reality, or you're just saying, you know, generally?
No, it's based on threats that I have okay. received from angry Astros.
No one's tried though. No one's tried
you. Punch. I have yet to dodge a punch, but I would. Quick as hell. Come on now.
Now, do the without McCullers, right? I mean, the Astros' offense is extraordinary, but without McCullers, although the young pitchers have done quite well, do they have enough pitching to beat the Braves?
You know, I do think they have enough pitching, actually. And after seeing Framber Valdez in Game 5 and Luis Garcia in Game 6 and the quality of the stuff that each of them had, it's premium. And I think Houston's bullpen is probably a little underrated and underappreciated. A guy to watch out for is Christian Javier. He's been absolutely brilliant this postseason. I think 7 2/3 innings, no runs, 13 punch-outs. He sort of serves as like the bridge guy. He's probably going to pitch twice, maybe three times, always going to be leverage spots. And if Houston can get out of Christian Javier what it got out of him during the ALCS and the division series, then I think they're going to be in an even better position than they are already, which I think is good, honestly, because I just think their offense is much better. If you take away, and I know we can't do this, I know we play this game sometimes, if you take away Eddie Rosario from Atlanta during the NLCS, as a team, they batted .218.
Right.
I'm not saying their offense – listen, their offense is good. Their offense is not Astros good.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Dusty Baker is the Marty Schottenheimer of Major League Baseball, and he finally has this chance to win that elusive ring as a manager. Would that change how he's looked upon historically, or did he still cement his legacy even before any chance at a championship this year?
I think it, you know, I think his legacy is firmly in place, which is a manager who won a ton of games, who was flawed, who grew, and who, even deep into his career, was finding success and bringing great things out of players. A championship makes everyone's resume better, though, right? Like, if we were to write, and I say this not wishing or hoping anything, but if we were to write an obituary for any manager at this point, if he manages a team to a championship, that's the first clause of the obituary, right? Dusty Baker, who managed the 2021 Houston Astros to a world championship amid winning more than 2,000 games in his career. Like, that's the first thing. And so, yeah, of course it's vital to add that to your resume if you can, and it would be a huge disappointment, I think, for him if he didn't.
It's funny, though, Jeff, because so many people saying, well, there's only one way to root here because Dusty Baker's so likable. Well, you don't exactly have an ogre in the other dugout. That's a great story, too, Brian Snitker. This is a grunt,
oh, yeah,
a guy who's been there forever, who ran minor league buses forever, 40 years, and now he's managing in the World Series. That's a pretty neat story, too. He seems like a good guy, too.
Oh, fantastic. It's not just 40 years, Michael. Like, it's six decades. Brian Snitker started with the Braves organization in 1977 as a player. Was with them as a coach in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, grinding in the minor leagues. You know what minor league life is like. It's not fun. There's a lot of bus trips, and there's a lot of terrible, immature players whose crap you have to deal with, and finally ended up on the big league roster or the big league staff and got a shot in 2016 as manager. And, you know, this Atlanta team, you guys saw it firsthand. Like, we kind of felt like the Mets were frauds, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even when they were in first place, it didn't feel like the sort of first place that was going to stick. We were always just waiting for Atlanta to come up. And right before I came on with you guys, I was talking with Ron Washington, the third base coach for the Braves. And he's like, you know what? We looked at those teams, and we knew they weren't bleep. And I was like, okay, Wash, because that's kind of how Wash rolls, you know? Like, I would love to see Wash come on live radio one time and just let it eat, because you guys would get fined so much if it happened. It would be glorious. But exactly. His point was, we knew we were better than all of them. It was just a matter of us turning on the rocket boosters. And you know what? They turned them on, and they beat a 106-win Dodger team. They beat a very good Milwaukee Brewer team, and now they got a chance to beat a Houston Astros team that they're the underdog against for the third time.
So who are you picking?
I got Astros in six, and it's a pick about which I have very little confidence, because I do think these teams are pretty evenly matched. But to me, in the end, what this is going to come down to is the bats, and I think both teams can catch the ball. Atlanta has a little bit of a pitching edge, but honestly, when I look at what the Astros do to left-handed pitching, which, remember, that was the strength. The strength of the Braves was Tyler Matzek, A.J. Minter, and Will Smith, and Houston is among the best teams hitting against left-handers, and that includes a guy in Yordan Alvarez who's going to be in the middle of that lineup and who hits just as well against left-handers as he does righties.
Oh, we're talking with Jeff Passan of ESPN here on the Michael Kay Show. We've got to ask you about the local teams before we let you go. Who's getting the president of baseball operations and the manager's job for the Mets?
Well, I think the president may come before the manager.
As it should.
Matt Arnold's name has been percolating around. I think there is some veracity to that at this point. And if he got the job, it would not shock me. But I think we're still not at the point where it's a done deal yet. And he's someone who's been a lot of places. You know, he's been in Tampa as part of that front office. He's been in Milwaukee as GM and second in command to David Stearns. He's won. He's a guy who, as his background is, oh, almost got hit with the ball there. Sorry. as part of his background is, is a scout. Like, that's where he made his bones. But he's also someone who I believe majored in economics as an undergrad. So, he understands numbers and he appreciates numbers. And I think the Mets were looking for someone who is well-rounded. And if you're looking for a well-rounded guy, Matt Arnold's resume, I think, speaks to that. And it's just going to be a question like everything, you know, how do you handle New York? Because you guys know, different beast.
Is the Sabian stuff dead?
I haven't heard anything there.
No.
You have to help me out with one thing, though. All of these big names they're going after, they're making like this job is a nuclear waste site. You have a $14 billion owner. You've got New York City. You've got a great facility. Well, why is everybody looking at this job like it's the worst job in the world? Why can't they get anybody?
Okay, so let's go one by one. David Stearns didn't get permission to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
Theo Epstein has made a ton of money and I think probably wants to get into ownership and sort of have that role rather than just a straight up president of baseball operations. Billy Beane, if you're Billy Beane, do you want to be the number three choice? Like, I hate to put it that way, but that's just kind of the reality. You know, Billy Beane's done a lot. He's accomplished a lot. If you want me, like, come and show me that you really want me. And then beyond that, Michael, how many guys are there that if you look at them, you say, this is somebody who the Mets really need to be going after? Like, who else are you looking at beyond those top three guys?
Well, the problem with me, though, Jeff, is you got to have this thing in place. You know, people are going to start rocking and rolling after the World Series, and then it might stop for a long time on December 1st. They have nothing in place. Shouldn't there be an urgency?
Yeah, you're right. Yes. Yes, you are 100% correct about that. And when there is no leader of baseball operations in place right now, you really do wonder just how ready are the Mets for this seminal offseason. You know, you look at each different department that the Mets have right now. Yeah, they're getting ready together individually. But is there any leader in place right now who's bringing it all together into one cohesive, actionable plan? And if the Mets don't have that in an offseason where they're expecting, Michael, to spend a lot of money, is that money going to be well spent?
And finally, who's the shortstop for the Yankees in 2022? And is it one of the shiny objects that will be available?
Corey Seager.
How much will that cost?
$300+ million.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And you see them doing that when the two best prospects in the minors are shortstops from me 2 years away.
Yeah, which is perfect because I think Corey Seager at 6'4", 220 probably is best pegged long term as a third baseman. So I think you play him at shortstop for a year and a half or two, and then hello, Anthony Volpe.
Great stuff. Stay away from the Astro fans. They could be very mean-spirited, and we care about you. We don't want you hurt.
I appreciate that, Michael. It's very kind of you. Maybe next time you can tell me I'm number one and make me feel really good.
I think you're number one. Today was quite a performance.
It really was.
Let's go.
Enjoy the game.
So millennial of you, Jeff.
Yes. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll come back. We'll make our own picks. Who's winning the World Series? And also, some dissension in the Yankee clubhouse? Is it something to be concerned about? It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.